We're back with Anne Rabe for part two of this talk on Superfund sites. And we've been talking about General Electric polluting Nassau in
the Dewey landfill.
And
Dewey Lofo landfill,
and how difficult it has been to get GE to clean up this site. What does cleanup and remediation actually mean when it comes to PCBs?
PCBs, it's a difficult chemical to clean up when it gets into soil. It doesn't move quickly through groundwater, so it's much more easily treatable in terms of groundwater contamination. Actually, our organization, United Neighbors Concerned About GE Dewey Lofo Landfill, and the Nassau Lake Improvement Association, this December, we had an all-day green remediation conference, and we had six hazardous waste cleanup companies come and give us presentations, and some of them were extremely exciting on how to clean up this large Superfund site, as well as cleaning up Nassau Lake. We're going to do another conference in the lake later this year. So if people are interested, we're going to be actually, we just started a community advisory group, which is like a public participation work group that is a liaison with the Environmental Protection Agency on the Dewey Lofo site. And next, this October, the first Tuesday in October, we're going to be giving a presentation that we hope the EPA Region 2 Administrator Pete Lopez and the EPA regional engineers will listen to these six hazardous waste vendors, our PowerPoint presentations and summaries, and how viable we think they are. Because what we want to have done is excavate this huge landfill, which is leaking like a sieve, and then apply various hazardous waste treatment technologies to greatly reduce the volume of the hazardous waste first, and then to render them permanently non-hazardous wherever possible. And we basically like GE to do an R&D center, a green remediation research and development center, to apply various hazardous waste treatment technologies to finally, once and for all, permanently clean up this landfill.
So I'm just hearing, and we want to get on to the NL Industries in our limited time, but I'm sort of hearing that, one, you get these companies that are allowed to pollute. They then try to write agreements to get out from underneath how much money they have to pay for it, and then you got weak sometimes enforcement from the state and federal agencies, and you got to get the consumer groups, citizens groups locally to sort of fight back, and it's all involved in politics. But I first met you, one of the first things I met you about was NL Industries and Colin E., and this was back in the early 80s, and I was kind of surprised to hear that this company had been basically depositing uranium, depleted uranium in this neighborhood along Central Avenue.
Yes, indeed. NL Industries, from the mid-50s through 1982, coated the community on Central Avenue and Colony with over 5 tons of uranium toxic emissions. And they polluted over 83 people's front backyards and their roofs and businesses. Excuse me.
And uranium's a nuclear reactive, right? That's like what you put in nuclear power plants and nuclear bombs, and it decays and it lasts a long time, and it really is bad for you, isn't it?
It's extremely hazardous. So it's depleted uranium is the leftover uranium from the nuclear power plant process. And so NL Industries took the depleted uranium and used it in making X-ray radiation shields, making munitions, armor-piercing bullets. The tanks that were used in the Gulf War, for instance, those were NL Industries armor-piercing bullets. And it's a very dense, heavy metal. And they also used it for airplane counterweights and the airplane wheels. And they had lots of 95% of their work was contractual with the Department of Energy and the Army. And so they, I'll get to that story a little later, but basically they were an extremely hazardous company. They've also run places in Fernald, Ohio. NL Industries in Fernald, Ohio is an even worse dump. But they're notorious for being just an extremely hazardous company. They poison their workers. They poison the environment wherever they are, and then they walk away and usually get bailed out by the taxpayers when the Department of Energy comes in and makes it a Department of Energy site, which is what happened in our situation.
How is it that this company is allowed to make a profit off of pollution?
Well, they're, you know, they gave lots of campaign contributions to, in this case, many Republicans, And so what happened was in 1980, a whistleblower, an NL worker, was upset about they were pouring toxic uranium waste down the storm sewers and contaminating the Albany sewer system. And they called up the Albany County Health Commissioner, John Lyons. He got the DEC involved. They went out there and they found that NL's incinerator, they had a really nice incinerator that burned all their uranium waste without any filters, usually operate on the weekends, and they would just take the filters off and just let it run all weekend. And so they went in and found that in 1 month, NL Industries had emitted the uranium emissions that were allowed under the air permit for 1 year, shut them down. And then they started to negotiate with them. The Attorney General got involved. And for 2 years, they had secret negotiations. Attorney General regrets it to this day. And behind the scenes, they were balking. They didn't want to agree to a cleanup, and let alone deal with the poison workers. And so behind the backs of the Attorney General and the DEC, they went to Senator Alphonse D'Amato, who we feel illegally.
Pothole Al?
Alphonse D'Amato, yes, Pothole Al, and he had this site added to the Federal Registry of what they call FUSRAP sites, the Department of Energy runs, Formerly Used Site Remedial Action Program. In essence, what they are is the old Manhattan Project sites from the making of the nuclear bomb back in the 50s and 40s, and it's not a Manhattan Project site. It's totally doesn't belong there. And as a result, it was added. We worked with Senator Moynihan to try to get a cost recovery clause put in there that once the FUSRAP Department of Energy cleaned it up, they would sue NL for cost recovery. And Moynihan wasn't able to get it through, and D'Amato got NL what they wanted. So after 2 years of secret negotiations, NL turned around and said, here we are in the federal appropriation this year. And Department of Energy took control of the site. And within 3 weeks of getting control of the site, they signed an agreement with NL to take over ownership of the property of the site. And I'm sorry, they sold it for $10 with a waiver on any future liability. It was an outrageous, outrageous situation. So
we have about 3 minutes left. So can you sum up in a minute what happened with NL? And then I want to ask you, What advice you have for any community group that wants to go after a pollutant site in their neighborhood?
Okay. So NL has finally been cleaned up, and we're still working on the cost recovery by the Department of Justice. It's actually, we got really great soil cleanup standards. It's really a good cleanup that happened at NL Industries. I would advise people that are interested in dealing with a local toxic site in their neighborhood, first thing you want to do is to contact the Center for Health, Environment, and Justice. It's a national grassroots advocacy organization that provides training, conference call mentoring. It has about 50 wonderful organizing handbooks and fact packets. So cheg.org, that's the place to go. Then give them a call. Tell them about your situation. You're going to have to be a bit of a detective, but the best thing you can do is to door knock and get your neighborhood organized. Politicians and the state agencies listen when the voters get together and organize as one. You have much more political strength if you organize a group. And CHEJ can help you do that, as well as myself and others in the Capital District.
Have we learned any lessons from the past, or are polluters still making a profit off of pollution and then getting away with scurrying out from under the cost of cleaning it up?
It's improved. We have pollution prevention programs at most of the hazardous waste producing companies in New York State and nationally. They could be doing a lot more. You know, we should have, like Massachusetts does, a goal to reduce our generation of hazardous waste by 50% in the next 10 years. We've never gotten there. And so there's a lot more that can be done to prevent pollution. The toxic legacy sites, it's a horrendous situation. What's happened is that, you know, there's State Superfund was an enforcement action program. And in 2003, because a lot of polluters didn't like the enforcement approach, they lobbied for and got the Brownfield Cleanup Program, which is a more of a voluntary approach. There are decent cleanup standards, but you really have to organize to get a good site cleanup. And it's all about people power. That's what it takes to get the agencies and the polluters to do their job and clean up their mess.
Well, Ann Rabe, we want to thank you for your decades of advocacy in trying to protect our environment. And this has been Mark Dunley along with Alexis Goldsmith for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.